Welcome along to That's Entertainment here on the 9 till noon show. And we are joined, just really, as I was speaking, by Michael Leddy. Hi, Michael.
Hello, Greg. How's the form with you?
Pull that seat to your left a bit closer to you, will you, please? Thank you very much indeed.
I can do that.
How are you keeping? Do you like Halloween?
I do like Halloween.
Do you watch a lot of horror movies?
I do.
You?
Most years, last few years, I've watched a lot. This year now, I've only managed two. This week, Halloween 4 and Halloween 5.
Where are they in the whole gambit of Halloween?
They are done in the late 80s, early 90s. They're like a trilogy. 4, 5 and 6 are their own sort of timeline that was rebooted or obliterated by the revamp in 98 and the revamp in 2007 and the one in 2018, which we'll be talking about later because it's on this weekend.
Yeah.
So it's a separate little trilogy, which I had never seen, although I do love the Halloween movies. I think they're good fun. These two are not the best, but they're on Sky if anybody wants to track them down. You can on demand, you know, the on demand thing where you can pick them.
Well, listen, a lot of people will be looking for recommendations.
Yes.
Because I'll talk to you about it a little bit.
Of course, yeah.
But because, you know,
I think
horror films of all genres there's more crap in that genre than there is, I think, in any other genre. Comedy, maybe.
And as you've said before, too,
recommendations.
Oh, yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
Stall, you're bringing. You're never this eager.
As you've said before
Can I just please say this?
But I loved what you said the last time.
I wanted to say, listeners, please, if you've got a horror movie recommendation, he's ready to go. How much coffee have you drank? If you have a horror movie recommendation or a scary movie recommendation, and don't say Rock This TV because I've already said that joke just now. If you've got something scary to watch on the TV, and don't say the 9 till noon show on your Fire Stick. If you've got something scary to watch on TV, 086 60 25,000. Right, you're wound. I'm releasing you. Go ahead.
No, as you have said before, it's a genre critics don't always embrace.
So much rubbish.
Oh yeah, but it is a genre the general public like. It's people will tell you what scared them and what freaked them out, and you're absolutely right. I mean, Blair Witch Project is a good example. I mean, that was one that, you know, creeped me out when I seen it in the cinema. It's one that I think critics did embrace, but then, as you say, a lot of critics don't. There is a lot of stuff out there because the bottom line for a horror film is that it should scare you, and if it doesn't.
The Blair Witch Project was the first sort of viral film, the first film, maybe not the first, but certainly one of the first films that was a huge success because, you know, people were talking about it on the internet.
It was promoted
on the internet and so on and so forth. Right, okay. Fnula, you all right there? You've broke the mic, you've broke the chair.
You did not.
I think I might have my favourite chair.
I think that one might have already been a bit...
Ooh. Oh my gosh. Okay. I know it's Halloween, but that's too scary.
That is creepy. Can you fix the mic? If you trust that chair enough?
I know.
Do you trust that chair?
I'm a minute now anyway, so we'll see what happens.
The mic's still not perfect, but Fnula, you're very welcome to studio. Thank you very much for joining us. I'll pull that down while you do that. You have the... perfect now. Now, I know you haven't been in here for a couple of weeks, but that's no excuse not to know how a microphone works.
I know, I forgot.
Do you like horror movies? You don't like horror movies, we know that.
No.
We've had the final destination anecdote a million times.
This is the worst television time for me, everything. Now, I did watch one, but it was 12s and it was enough for me.
Was it the Addams Family?
No, it was the new Haunted Mansion on Disney. You know, they redid it, the one that was done in the past with, can't even think of it.
Here we go. Good to have you back.
I know. Oh, I'm getting worse now.
Well,
Eddie Murphy was in. And they redid it, and actually it's got an amazing cast in it. And it's not bad, but it's 12s, and I was like going, yeah, actually this is a bit scary for me. I'm like, can't go any higher because I looked at the fall of the house.
You can't go higher than
12s. No. Final Destination is 15.
So your emotional resilience to horror is that of an 11-year-old.
Well, to be honest, I feel your you're probably being hard on 11-year-olds because it's probably 9 and 10-year-olds. There's probably 9 and 10-year-olds that are watching under 12s. But yeah, that's as top as I get. Yeah, no, I can't do any more than that. I saw that Fall of the House of Usher and I was like, oh my God, the cast is amazing. And then I went in and it said gore, horror, and I went, back out again. Yeah.
Did you finish that in the end? Did
no, I couldn't. I won't bother. Like, it's just, it's not working for me.
Yeah.
Okay. Wasn't scary enough for me.
No, I was just wondering if you'd... Changed your position since last week, but you haven't. Okay. Right. We want your horror stories, your horror films, 086 60 25,000. On Disney, Colleen Rooney, The Real Wagatha Story, is available right now. I don't think it's across everybody's radar, let's use that phrase, because Disney and Disney aren't fantastic at promoting things, and I don't know how many subscribers Disney have in this country. But this is a big one, isn't it, for anyone who followed that Wagatha story and the trial?
Well, I just went full football. I did the Beckham one first of all, and that one was kind of, and I love the Beckhams, and I was kind of like going, oh, this is nice. But even to me, it was a little bit saccharine. And I'm somebody who actually really likes them. But I was like, let's, you know, throw a small bit into it. It was an interesting documentary, and it was horrendous, some of the things that were said and done at different times in his career to him. But you were kind of like going, don't be brushing over your infidelity so quickly and all this kind of thing. Mm. But then...
I watched the end of that. I didn't watch it all, and I mentioned to watch the end of it because I know you have both down. And there's just a bit at the end where, you know, he's cleaning his cooking equipment, you know, and he lays everything out very, you know, very
specifically. Yeah, he has OCD.
And he is it stated he has OCD or is it just
he mentions suggested? That he's had that he has issues with, but he walks in at one point into his closet and he said, oh, somebody's been here, and he moves one of the hangers like.
A fraction. But also just the way he's cleaned, and I think they leave it towards the end of it, he's cleaning this equipment, and he seems like a lovely guy and a family guy. But at the same time, he seems he's enduring something in his life as well.
Yeah, well, he comes across as being, when you watch the whole thing, he does. But he definitely has an OCD type personality when it comes to cleaning, and which
arranging,
in fairness,
yeah,
completely not like me.
No.
If my personality went OCD,
you
would
wade
be...
through your kitchen.
I do.
Wade through.
I do. I have a bedroom of a 15-year-old with like crap everywhere. That's my problem. I'm becoming a hoarder in my as I'm aging. Whereas he's gone the other way. He does have a lot of things in which he likes things to be particular. He's very particular about things. But I think that kind of comes into his upbringing and his professionalism. I mean, the father got a small bit of a dig a couple of times in it, which is amazing because the father's in the documentary and doesn't seem to take offence when he talks about how hard the father was on him when he was training
him.
Well,
maybe they've come to terms with it.
That, you know, it was just kind of part of his... I think he sort of seems to think, oh, that's what made me what I am. But, like, the father seems to have been very much like, you... Do it again.
And he seems a great dad. As I say, I only saw a bit of it. But there seems to be, and I don't know what's wrong with the world now or whatever. I didn't see it. And I don't, but there was some controversy that he kisses his daughter on the lips. People moaning or crying about that on the internet as if there's something wrong with that. I mean, what
lots
is
of people do that, don't
what
they?
Is, yeah, but what's going on in the world now that
you
people,
wouldn't even notice it, actually. That's only when you
but
said
that's
it
what
there.
I'm saying, but
she's only in it for 1 second.
Yeah, but it's that's people's takeaway. It's worrying, I think, that that's
I don't,
people,
yeah, they have to find something weird in everything. Well,
exactly.
It's just that's
and,
their
relay. By questioning it, it potentially has the, it makes it weird when it's not, if you just don't have any issues yourself.
Yeah, why would that be? It's a between that, well, like as in
exactly, and it, there's nothing awkward or creepy, or it's and it wouldn't be my thing because it wasn't our thing.
But it's like another thing. Some people are huggers. Some families are huggers, exactly, and some families aren't huggers. And as you get older, you meet people.
I think the larger and listen, throw this out to the listeners. I think sometimes the larger the family, the less huggy they are.
You're probably right.
I just don't know if it's because there's not maybe enough affection and love to go around.
Okay.
I think from a big family.
I think we were more belty than we were huggy.
Or Sally Roddy in our house.
You mean more. No, and I don't mean my parents. I mean like between the siblings.
Oh, I meant my parents. No,
oh, no. Oh, no, God, no.
Dinner's no warm.
Oh, no, no. By belty, I meant us hitting each other when we were kids.
Right, okay.
There was a load of us, and we were always just kind of like either, you know, trying to convince one of the younger ones they were adopted.
I just think sometimes the larger the family, and it doesn't mean there's any less love in a house, but I think sometimes the larger the family, the less demonstrative people be with you.
Yeah,
I can understand that too.
Yeah, Michael was definitely hugged too much in his house.
Far too much.
And he's a small family.
Only child. Spoiled.
Overly loved.
How many roommates have you got?
Oh, I have two roommates.
He lands home, and the two roommates, he tells them when he's coming home, right? And they're standing at the door. As he walks in, they each have to give him a hug before he's allowed even to go into the kitchen.
I'm not shocked.
Yep.
I'm
have
not
you been reading my diary?
Yes,
I'm not shocked by that information. But anyways, I liked the Beckham thing was good, only it was a little bit... It was a little bit too hero worshipy, and it didn't really give you any kind of a.
What was your impression of Victoria?
I actually really respect and admire them because I think they worked hard for what they have, and they've put a goal in mind and they've achieved it. But she's very on. You know, you just always feel like that she sat down and she's worked out exactly what she's going to say. And even when she like pauses, it feels like as in that they're practiced. Yeah. That's her kind of thing.
And they've structured this.
Yeah.
They've given some away, but they've got a lot of control.
They've given away so
much
minimal,
control. Yeah. Why would they all of a sudden relinquish this control for a documentary? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's their documentary.
Yeah.
And the thing about the Wagga, the story is it's just very similar. It's definitely done with, you know, oh, she's great. She definitely had a lot of control over it. If anybody watched, Channel 4 did kind of like a dramamentary or whatever they call them of the actual trial and that kind of thing. And it was a little bit more in depth. But this is very much her as she feels she needs to get her story across. I don't understand why for 2 years we read nothing but this in the papers. Does everybody not know every single side of it at
but
this
I
point?
Think for access to her on this level, production companies were just going to give her a carte blanche.
I think that's exactly what they did. It seems it's very much now, like she talks in this sometimes. I have to say, after watching this, and obviously I don't know this girl at all, nor do I follow her on social media, her life seemed kind of sad. Like she lives in this house that, in all fairness, I thought she was pulling up to the boys' school when she pulled up to the house. It's so freaking big. And she constantly seems to be wandering around it on her own.
Yeah.
According to the documentary, she doesn't have a nanny. They never mentioned, they mentioned one story of him when he was caught drink driving, when he just was giving a girl a lift home.
Yeah, of course. As you do.
In the middle of the night while you're half cut. So, like, and, you know, he says in it, you know, he knows what he was doing. And it's terrible that the press took it up a different way. Wow. You're like, okay, all right, buddy.
Yeah. That's also airbrushing a little bit. It's Rooney washing. There's more to it than that too. She's had to put up with a lot.
Oh my God, she definitely has made a decision in her life. I mean, and again, no more than Posh probably had as well. You know what I mean? These are decisions these women have made, and as long as they can live with it, that's the same thing. But she does seem very kind of lonely in it. I just sort of, when you're watching her walking around the house on her own. From the documentary, she doesn't appear to have a nanny, which I find very hard to believe as well. She pulls up in the first 2 minutes. She pulls up outside where her gym is, and she's talking about, oh, the paparazzi, you know, are always, this is where they always pat me, and there's one lone guy standing there, and it's nearly like as if she pulled up in front of him just to make sure that he saw her. And she goes, oh yeah, I know, he and his brother. And you're like, that's like one guy. What are you like? You just kind of get that feeling of it. I don't know. I find it kind of sad. And then the whole story of, it's interesting how her mind works in a sense that she went down this rabbit hole with this. She got it into her head that somebody was selling stories or at least releasing private stories. But
Welcome.
Welcome to 2019, 2020, 2021,
2022. This was years ago.
The trial was only this year.
Yeah. But I remember this thing happening. One of her friends was
Vardy.
I remember this.
And then Vardy sued her and, you know, lost the house because it was crazy.
She got creamed.
So what would you give the Beckhams out of 10? Because we're going to move on.
The Beckhams out of 10, if you want to sit down and watch something, if you like looking at the football and you're kind of a fan of them, you're going to love this. And you're going to give it like an 8. If you've any kind of a thing for them, it's going to kind of turn you down a small bit because it's very definitely the guy that did it loves them. you'd know it's, I think it's even their own production company when I delve down a bit further that actually made it. It's very much kind of the Harry, Meghan type of thing. Everything's beautiful and we're all great and everybody else is real meanies. That's the way they're done. I couldn't get past the first one in that one. But this, and the Colin Rooney thing then is more just an insight into her life is kind of, I thought, more interesting than the actual wag at the story.
Probably, Colleen probably thought, right, I have control over this. And by the sounds of it, maybe the production company gave her enough rope because it's probably not going to be quite as a fantastic a story she might think it was going to be because of the things you've been discussing that it kind of exposes that maybe it's kind of a bit of an isolated, lonely disillusion.
To be honest, you really felt that with it. It's like, oh, no, but it's an interesting, look, it's an interesting insight into somebody's life who I think people would assume their life is awesome. Okay. You know the way? And it's an interesting one. But again, like if you like that kind of thing, you're going to love, they're going to love the reality of her lifestyle. And you probably give it like a 7 or an 8 as well. It's definitely watchable.
Stay with us because Michael's going to be reviewing or previewing something after this. It's That's Entertainment, and Michael and Fionnuala have reunited. Michael, what are you previewing for us or reviewing for us?
Will we go with the Halloween thing, which we started chatting about? Just Halloween. So right, Fionnuala now will put her fingers around.
I've watched all of them up as far as
the new ones.
No.
Okay, so these on TG Cahir tomorrow night. You can watch the most recent reboot. There was a new trilogy. David Gordon Green is the guy who did the three latest films. Jamie Lee Curtis came back. And so what you have is they completely rebooted the franchise and ignored all the sequels. Mm. And with this film, it's a direct sequel to the movie from 1978. Mm. Okay? So if like me, you happen to have missed a lot of ones in the middle, it doesn't matter. This film is brilliant. Okay, if you like the genre and you like the original, I think it's a worthy successor to what they originally did. And it's a very smart, very modern take on the horror genre. The horror genre, the Halloween movies, traditionally have a woman fleeing for her life while some mad slasher is after her. That's also true of the Friday the 13th and Freddy Krueger and all those ones.
And life in general.
And life in general, very well, very, very good. So what David Gordon Green did with this one is he kind of flipped that around a wee bit and we catch up with the Jamie Lee Curtis character 40 years later, but she's it's a bit like with the Linda, it's a bit like Linda Hamilton and the transition of her over the Terminator movies. She's not a damsel in distress anymore, and that's all I'm going to say. So that first movie, which is on tomorrow night, I would highly recommend it. I think it's a really smart horror movie.
Did you not poo on From a Great Height on the third one? No,
on the second one.
Oh, the second.
Good memory. The second one, I could see. What I will say about this guy is, with his new trilogy, he didn't just set out to make the same movie three times over. So fair play to him. I thought the third one was also very good, and he really, really messed around with what it's all about. I think in the second one, I may need to go back. In light of what he did with the third film, I may need to reevaluate
and
the second one.
It was a trilogy.
It was very definitely a trilogy, a new trilogy. And I absolutely give the trilogy a thumbs up. The second one didn't work for me, but having seen the third one, I get what he was doing and how he genuinely, and I read a couple of interviews with him in SFX. He didn't just want to remake Halloween three times. He wanted to bring something.
If I remember, your criticism of it was that it wasn't a horror film, that it was an emotional sort of...
Yeah, the second one, again, we can talk about it a bit more. The second one is kind of, it takes out all the characters that we know from the franchise, and it focuses on a sort of a mob thing, and it becomes this mob in the town, and it looks at the evil of the mob, and that's a different film to me. And I get what he was doing because of where he takes the franchise in the third film, but in that second one, it's about a lot of people running around the town at night looking for this killer. And if I remember correctly from seeing in the cinema a couple of years back, you don't see Michael Myers at all. You hardly see Jamie Lee Curtis at all. And it's a definite choice the director was making, and he did what he did, and then he brought it all home in the third one. But the first one, the first of the new ones, which is again on tomorrow night, it's not like that. It picks up the story. I think whatever about the sequels, everybody has seen that first one. Maybe not Fionnuala.
No.
But you have, yeah. And it's a great film. And although I also think the second one is a great film, he's chosen with this trilogy to cut it off at the end of the first one, ignore what happened in the second one, and pick up the story 40 years later. And I think for tomorrow night, if you're going to look for something for Halloween and you either A, haven't seen this, or B, you want to revisit it, I would highly recommend it.
Halloween H2O is probably one of the best in all of them.
Yeah, that's the next stage of where, like, I'm watching 4, 5 and 6, and yeah, you're right, then in 98 they rebooted it and they brought her back, and that's like a different timeline again or whatever like that. So, and there was two of those. So those two work as their own little mini franchise.
Yeah.
And then Rob Zombie did it in 2007.
Rob, hold on a second.
Rob Zombie.
Zombie.
That's his name.
And he made a horror film.
Yes.
Okay.
He made loads of them. And he's a musician too.
Right, okay.
It's possible that's not his real name. It could be his stage name.
Right. T.G. Cahir, go ahead.
No, I didn't. I think with trilogies, the problem with trilogies I always have in movies is the gap.
Mm.
You rarely find the middle one in a trilogy is any good. As in, when
like it's an abridge, is it?
Like? Well, it's always about bringing the story forward more than anything else. I mean, even if you think even something like as classic as like Lord of the Rings or any of those kind of things, you know, something even as big as the middle one, you're kind of like, oh God. Yeah. And it's not until you kind of get to the end. I always think it's a weird thing for movie people to decide to do trilogies when there's 2 years or a year in between the movies coming out.
And just on that subject for you, Fionnuala, I don't know if you... It's not a trilogy, but of course you're a big fan of the Mission Impossible movies. Did you see the news this week that they're pushing back the second part of the latest one? Partly because of the strikes, obviously. Partly because the box office response to this one wasn't quite what they expected.
It's a good film, though. The only thing
I thought it was very good in the Mission Impossible genre.
The problem is I watched a lot of them, right? And it depends who's directing them, the style of the film. And there are very different films. The Tom Cruise looks like he's on his way out in the most recent one for most of the film. And then he picks it up a little bit. I think he does. You know, I think he looks lost and vulnerable, and maybe that's the way they want to present it.
Needs a hug.
But the story is always the same, you know. Things are middling. He meets a woman who's in peril, and then he has to save the world. And
the basics are always in. Yeah, the basics are always.
But I thought there were elements of that film, particularly the train stuff, that were fantastic.
Yeah.
The train was amazing.
I've never seen it before, and it's quite thrilling. It was a good film, good baddies.
But in the genre, they're always the same anyways, aren't they? I mean, like Michael's favorite love is Fast and Furious, and I'm sorry, that's the exact same film 165
times.
There was
a couple of the Mission Impossibles that were directed by a particular director, and it was all like slow-mo stuff, and you know, the fight scenes that were shot in a completely different way, and if you watch them one after the other, you can really notice it, and I don't really notice those things. So they've pushed that back.
Drone shots. Your eye is really good. You notice drone shots if part of the screen is out of focus. You are very optically driven.
Documentaries. I started a documentary last night again, and the producer starts asking questions off mic, and I'm not a violent person, but I wanted to rip the TV off the wall and chuck it out the window.
I don't understand it myself.
Just give yourself a microphone. You're going to ask the question. You've got the people mic'd up.
I know.
You've done the random shot of the chair empty. You've done the snap of the clipboard because we see behind the scenes because it's so raw.
Yeah.
Just give yourself a bloody microphone, please. I'm not interested.
I know. It's the same thing even in the don't watch the Becca one. You're not going to like it because he does do that as well. He asked questions off mic, and like they're specific questions. It's not like as if that they just came to him because of something that somebody else was saying.
I'm going to pull my microphone down here, and this is what we're talking about. You'll pick me up on Fionnuala's microphone.
Yeah.
And they ask questions like this, you know, and maybe it comes across a little bit clearer at home, but why would I interview someone with the microphone down? You know, you put the microphone up. Okay. Anyway, Ursula Rabbit Hall, welcome back.
Oh,
it's like rain with clouds. She only comes when Fionnuala's here. Ursula Rabbit Hall, thanks very much for rejoining us. She takes the same sabbaticals as Fionnuala. Delighted to see Michael and Fionnuala back together for the entertainment slot. And belated congrats, Greg and team, on your recent award. But of course, Ursula, you could only say that now because when Fionnuala's not here, you don't bother with the program. So. But thanks anyway. I know you're
funny because
right
it's
place.
True.
I'm going to go over to her house on the east coast of England and live there for 6 months and see how she likes
totally
that.
Totally should. That woman is still, they're out like sunbathing down there. It's terrible.
Is the house free? I'll go to the house when it's free. Apparently, she's got a massive kitchen table. But anyway, Ursula, lovely to have you back on board and thank you so much for your nice comments. Right, okay. So You were talking about Halloween. I started getting raging again about
documentaries. I would give this. I do like the Halloween movies. I had never seen the Friday the 13th movies until about 4 or 5 years ago when I started watching them to review them. And they're okay, but they're just not a patch on the Halloween movies. Yes, it's the same story, basically. But no, the Halloween movies are...
I think when you go into The Conjuring and stuff, they've raised the bar so high that, in my view, that those films seem, even in their remake, seem dated.
It's a different... Yeah, I mean, I've seen a couple of those Conjuring movies and, it's a whole... Yeah. That's a different ballgame.
And this sounds like an awful thing to say, and I don't even know how to phrase it correctly. There's so much horror ongoing, even America at the moment, right?
Mm. Yeah.
That, you know... One person...
We're becoming immune to it, are we?
One person inflicting terror on 4 or 5 people. I mean, you switch over the news and it's
the stats, yeah. Worse. Of course, of course, yeah.
Right, okay.
I prefer the older stuff. I was going to watch that thing now.
I
love Friday the 13th. It's when I fell in love with Kevin Bacon.
When
he was getting a drill up through the chest.
Yes.
Anyone could ever fall in love with Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, Kevin Bacon.
The best work he's done is EE adverts. What I was going to say was...
Mystic River. I've not seen Mystic River.
No. Has anyone watched The Badland Murders? Very interesting. No, let me see. Have I? This is another...
No, Murder in the Badlands. It's on RTE.
But there's a couple of these I have watched and keep falling asleep.
This is about a terrible murder that happened 30 years ago in Antrim.
This is something completely different. Yes.
Yeah.
I thought this is about the Lisa lady that went missing, isn't it?
To be honest, no, I'm very bad because
I
haven't
Dorian,
really watched.
I think it is.
It's a young girl that
I'm confusing this with a couple of American ones.
No, yeah, this is set in Ireland. It's a young girl that was killed in Antrim. I think she might have been German, right? And 31 years later, they finally arrested somebody for it.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if they actually ended up being charged or what story. I think in the end, there may not have been enough to actually bring them to court, but they do feel that they've resolved what
happened. About four murders of women in the north over four decades. That was a completely different one as to... It's middling reviews. It's not terribly high. Greg, can you mention the planet...
I just think it's like you... I was watching TV and it was on last night and it was like, first of all, you had the news and that was just... Every time you turn around, everything is horror. Then you went into prime time, which was on, you can tell my mother's visiting, I'm on RTE. There was a prime time was on.
Put on RTE, dear.
And that was all about, you know, Palestine and Gaza and all that. And then you went straight from that then into murder. I was like, I'm out. You can't have all of it.
It's really, really important that we all give ourselves space to think. Greg, can you mention that Planet Youth are having a variety concert to celebrate their 40th anniversary in the Bala Theatre, Bala Buffet, today at 8 p.m. Tickets can be got from... That was last night. Why have I got it then?
No.
Accidental. Okay, so if you were at it, I hope you enjoyed it. Don't turn up tonight. There's nothing on in terms of that. Has anyone on the panel been watching The Fall of the House of Usher? That's your one, isn't it?
That's
on
my
Netflix,
one.
Greg. Edgar Allan Poe stuff, probably good for Halloween, but surprisingly funny too. This is the one that you've pulled out of, right? Okay.
Yeah, well, no, I was saying I was like, I'd like to hear positive reviews. Yeah, it wasn't working for me. I didn't like the characters. I gave up after episode 2. I can't imagine ever watching episode 3, despite the stellar cast.
You kind of did give out to Fanula in the past for quitting mid-series.
I know.
Greg, can you please ask Michael and Fanula, is there a film out there called The Four Marys? A wee bit of information. Not familiar with that myself.
That does ring a very small bell.
Okay.
Yes,
we can look into it. Oshin, thanks for emailing Oshin. And Oshin, thanks for being a regular listener and contributor. And I extend that to all of you out there too. It's really appreciated. Oshin says his favourite horror has to be The Entity, made in 1982, but gets under your skin. Okay, Oshin, thanks for that. Halloween activities, including the Trick and Treat Trail, are happening on Tuesday, the 31st of October at 12:30 p.m. It doesn't say where, so one can only presume
Letterkenny.
It is the heart of the universe, Letterkenny. Because you don't need to mention Letterkenny because we're obviously talking about it. But anyway, I jest. The Halloween activities in Letterkenny, including the Trick and Treat Trail, are happening on Tuesday, the 31st of October at 12:30 p.m. We'll be giving out the Trick or Treat Trail list and advertising that it is from 1 to 3 p.m. There's a photo booth at Market Square, storytelling at the library at 1:30 and 2:30. Lots of activities with our partners, Letterkenny CDP, in the courtyard. And the parade will be leaving McGettigan's at 4 p.m. and it gets dark at 5, so it's going to be spooky, nice and early. I was in the library last night for an event. It was a soapbox EU event that was being run, and it was a competition between around about 23 or 24, some of them under 17, some of them over 17, and they were debating the importance of voting. And wow, the young people are amazing. 12-year-olds right up to, you know, 18, 19-year-olds making some amazing points, and it was a great thing to be involved with. Fair play to everyone and the winners as well. They each got an iPad, the winners, one each. Lovely. Nice. Wow. Right, sorry. What was it?
Great topic.
Yeah, it was. There was one particular contributor, and she won in the end. I think she was 16. And the question was, it was a Barack Obama quote, which escapes me just at the moment, about the importance of voting. And her presentation was the fact that she can't vote. You know, it was about how important a vote is, and it was just the way it was phrased. It was really quite clever, and through the whole, the topic.
We should think about changing the age and that kind of thing.
But there were some brilliant contributions, and another young lad too, talking about the right to vote. But he pointed out that a lot of people with a disability or visually impaired, we talk about the right to vote, but even those who have the right to vote can't exercise that vote because it's not facilitated. And I thought there was lots and lots. That's just two highlights. They were fantastic. So well done to everyone involved. And as I say, it was. Do you know what was lovely too? Young people coming up to me and going, "Do you mind if I get a selfie?"
Oh wow!
No, but that's not it. The sentence isn't there. Do you mind if I get a selfie? My granny's a big fan.
Oh. Oh,
and I was like, brilliant. Yeah, it's fantastic. I thought I was finally chipping away. I was reaching the youth.
You were down with the kids.
Not even their mothers. That's even worse.
Because, it's for granny. Right, okay. But it was lovely.
Even if they said mom is a big fan.
Shame in that game. All right, welcome back to today's show, and thanks to Sisteras for their support this week. It's great to have you guys on board. Okay, we're talking about a show that's coming up this weekend. It's called The Root of All Evil. We have a director and a cast member, Eleanor, a.k.a. Donna Marie Doherty, from our very own newsroom. Good morning to you again, Donna Marie.
Hello.
And also we have Sean Lafferty, the director of The Root of All Evil. Tell us about this piece of work, Sean.
This is a new piece of work written by the Ballard Theatre's very own Conor Malone, who's the theatre manager there. And this is his sixth piece of writing, mm-hmm. Brand new piece of writing. It's based on an article that he read in a book regarding an experiment that was done in America with monkeys and introducing currency to monkeys to see how quickly they'd adapt to it. And he thought, what if I wrote a play about taking humans in that situation that never used currency and introducing the idea of currency into a society? And it's just so, when you read it and you say, oh my God, this has happened. It's still happening. It's millennia old now, you know? And then we get to see what happens through the family that's based on it. It's a baker and his wife, and Elena, his daughter, and we see through the family the effect that introduction of coin or currency or the idea of coin and currency has throughout a wider society then.
And this is a one-act play?
One-act play, yeah. So we are going to take this play out now after this weekend, right next weekend, on the All-Ireland one-act festival circuit.
Brilliant.
Which we had the pleasure of winning 2 years ago. So we're back out again now, hopefully trying to get there again.
Reclaim the honours. Right, okay. And it's a small cast. There is the baker, Mickey McMahon, his wife, Doreen Lafferty, and Eleanor, our own Donna Marie Doherty, and I can mention the stranger, isn't it? Michael Given King. So what's it been like, the process of reading the work initially, Donna Marie, and then the rehearsal processes? Have you enjoyed it? It's a big undertaking, isn't it?
It is. I absolutely loved it, though. I did Panto last year. And, you know, whenever you're on Panto, you can barely move on stage for the amount of people there. But whenever there's only four people, there's so many technical elements to be looking at and to take into account. But it's been class. It's just been so enjoyable.
Yeah. And from a director's point of view, I don't know if it's more or less people, which is the greatest challenge, because you have to make an impact because you don't have a ton of time,
yeah.
And you know you can't have any loose or weak characters.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Well, when you've got a big cast of Donna Marie says, if you're working on something like a panto or a musical or something, and you're tight for space, they are two completely different approaches. So you do have to look at them technically very differently. When I've got a small cast of Donna Marie says, there's four. I think there's only maybe at one point in the play where the four are on the stage. The rest is either twos or threes. So you are looking at it very, very differently. You're looking at, you know, angles and things like that on the stage and you know, where the lighting is hitting. And so not only are you looking at them doing their performances, I'm thinking about, where's the lighting coming from? Is there sound coming in here? Do I need to move parts of the set? You know, because the bigger casts and bigger musicals and things like, you know, you're most likely working more with an open stage. And the more people on, the less space you have. So
what kind of leeway did Connor give you with this?
Connor is a writer who, when you get his plays and you say, is it okay if I change anything after I've read it or if, as I'm going along directing it, Connor hands you the play and says, I'll see you on opening night.
So he's not breathing down your neck?
No, refuses to see any rehearsals until he hands it. He says,
it's a wonderful thing to do. Yeah, but it could be looked at two ways too, because then there is the great reveal.
That's the one thing I've kind of been sitting in the back of my mind, just because he hasn't seen any of it. He hasn't seen any rehearsal. I just hope he likes it.
Now, one act plays and compared to large productions and what have you, in the context of this being a one act, or in fact it being any type of play, the advance sales have been huge, Donna Marie.
Yeah. I think I was telling you this morning, I thought that there was 80 or 90 between the two nights, but John was just telling me outside that it's actually 80, 90 per night. Yeah.
Mm. With hopefully a few more walk-ins.
Yeah. The walk-ups. Yeah. Those are the people who have expressed an interest in advance, and you're going to get a lot. Mm. And that's really what we're talking about here. There are some tickets available. So give us the show time, Sean.
We actually open tonight.
Yep.
We open tonight at 8 o'clock in the Ballarat Centre, and we're on tomorrow night, same time. And you can get the tickets, ballaratcentre.com. I can tell you now the box office is open right now if you want to give them a call on 9131840.
Right, really exciting for all of you, because there's a lot of work goes into this and we only just see the end result. It doesn't always tell the full story.
I just
want
to take an opportunity to thank Donna Marie and the cast. They've been amazing, and my crew. I could not have done this without this crowd. They are absolutely they've been phenomenal.
So. All right, so Donna Marie, exciting. You get to perform it close to home and then take it on the tour then.
Yeah, we're going on the road.
On the road. All right, well done. It's The Root of All Evil. It's is the Butt Drama Circle's 2023 entry into this year's All-Ireland One Act Drama Festival. It's on tonight at 8 p.m, tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Already huge advance sales, and you can book your ticket or maybe even turn up on the night. Just call the box office at the Ballar or go on their website there. Best of luck with it, and I hope I'm sure you're going to do fantastic this weekend, but particularly it'd be nice to get that crown back
that
they had to wrestle from your mitts last year.
Yeah.
All right, well, Don, anything you want to add, Don Marie? To,
you know, just come see us.
I just want you back in the newsroom. All right, then. All right, then. Listen, thank you very much indeed. Michael and Fionnuala back in after these. And we have back in with us Michael and Fionnuala. You just need to watch The Burning Girls, says a listener. I'm not familiar with that one. Curtains, very scary film. It's old too. Oh, pull yourself together, will you? Does anyone... Why is no one laughing? That's hilarious.
I'm giving it a good silent chuckle.
Does anyone know if there are any Halloween events planned for Swan Park in Buncrana Halloween night? Let us know. We're more than happy to share that information, please, wherever you are across the region. Went to see the Miracle Club because I thought it was funny. It was more sad than funny. Have any of you seen it?
It's on my list.
Okay, it's in the cinemas, yeah?
Yes, it's in the cinemas,
yeah. And people, it's kind of getting mixed reviews, but I think it's probably people going to see it. You know what I mean? It's a bit... mature, I'd say, it's for a mature audience.
Does that mean there's nudity in it or scary?
No. It's kind of the story of it is about going to about a group of women who are great friends that are now elderly, and then they head off to Lourdes on a trip, and then one of their cohorts has passed away, which is kind of what brought this whole thing together, and then her daughter appears back from hadn't been seen in years, and it's just really emotional kind of.
Okay, I get you. Right, I get you. I see what you mean by the description there.
Yeah.
Right, so we had, you talked an awful lot about Halloween there, and I don't mean that in a negative way. What do you want to pick out from your list, Fionnuala?
Oh, well, I know I pick these things and sometimes people don't have the actual platform. Call me. I'm very generous with my with my passwords. But
except your sister's passwords are given away.
No, the feck them. Anyways, they went and they all gave them all up, and I had to go and pay for them myself. And that's very surprising.
Selfish.
I know, but then some people have them on their as long as they have their boxes, they'll be able to get stuff until that changes. And one of the things that I was watching, which wouldn't normally have come onto my radar because I've actually missed the book, is Lessons in Chemistry, and it's on Apple TV. And the book came out a couple of years ago and was a massive hit. Everybody that's read it is always talking about how brilliant it is. It's basically the story of, it starts off and it's kind of, the story of a woman in the 50s. Obviously, she's in college studying to become a chemist, and in a man's world and in a man's area, like with chemistry and that kind of thing, she has a lot of difficulties in getting work. And in being taken seriously, and it just kind of moves through her life, and then she ends up with a television program in which she's teaching cooking to women and kind of using the chemistry of cooking to go ahead. And this is just really basically the story of her life. There is 4 episodes of it currently on Apple TV. Sat down to watch one, and 4 hours later got up from my chair.
Good sign.
It really was. It's really, really good. I really enjoyed it. And to be honest, hands on heart, I haven't even read the book because I don't know how it passed me by. All of my sisters have read it. They're all raving about it. And as I said, my mum's up visiting. So we were looking for something that we would watch together. And you know me, I can't watch anything with any kind of, no kissing. So I have to watch something. I was like, let's watch something now that I can watch, we can enjoy together. So we sat down to watch it and we ended up watching all 4 of them. And we're very excited because Friday is when it comes out.
I love this all of a sudden.
I know. The next episode is out tonight. So that's my evening planned. It's very good. Brie Larson is in it. She plays the main person in it. There's some fantastic cast. Nobody that you kind of know the names, but faces that you would have seen around about the place. But it's just a really strong story, and they've done really well. Even, as I said, people who've read the book, and often sometimes when you love something and then you see an adaptation of it, it can, dampen it or ruin it for you. But in this, everybody seems to be really happy with it, and I definitely recommend it if you can. Just a really nice story about the ups and downs in this woman's life. Really well written, very well acted. Loving it.
You've got something almost no one has. A platform. What you say matters.
Politics don't belong in the kitchen. A man wants his wife to make him a drink after a long day at work.
What? All right, okay, you can see the tone of it, all right.
Yeah.
Brilliant, okay, so wherever you can get your hands on it, Lessons in Chemistry. And you heard from Fionnuala there, sat down to start it and has watched everything that's available of it so
100%.
Far.
100%. If you don't have Apple, get the book.
Yeah, I talked last week about re-watching... Mindhunter,
yes,
which was great. Two series, brilliant. Not as good as the first time I watched it, but anyway, because I remember thinking it was brilliant. But that be that as it may. So I thought, right, that sets me up for season 3. They're not making season 3.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's.
I actually just thought that they were because it's set up so beautifully for season 3. But apparently, it's incredibly expensive, and the actors were released from their contracts, and they're not ruling it out into the future. But it's so expensive to make.
I remember watching it and being disappointed that they stopped it because it was really good.
But don't let that discourage you, because there are 2 series with 2 stories, and yes, it sets up season 3. But you'd be, there's enough there. You can be satisfied. You can be satisfied that it's not coming back, if that makes sense. Have you watched The Year That Rocked Irish Dancing from Anne-Marie in Glasgow? No. We're getting some pretty interesting suggestions.
Yeah.
Greg, funniest Halloween story has to be the Czech Catholic priest smashing pumpkins. Don't know, I never saw that. Ruth Codd from The Fall of the House of Usher is an Irish actress,
yes,
and she's brilliant on TikTok.
Okay. Oh, okay. Is she right? Okay. Interesting lady, yeah. Right. She's one of those people who's kind of rocked to stardom. I think she was a hairdresser only a couple of years ago.
The Reckoning's on BBC One. Let's go to
BBC. Yeah, this is a very serious... This is Steve Coogan playing Jimmy Savile.
Okay.
And this has been one of the big prestige BBC shows of the start of the new season. I watched one of them, the one, everything. This is all based on A Pack of Lies, that one. I watched that one, and then was The Woman in the Wall, which I didn't get around to watching. This one is Jimmy Savile story. And it's, first of all, Coogan's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic as Jimmy Savile. He was the voice of Jimmy Savile on Spitting Image. So he was well versed in the voice and mannerisms. And watching the first episode as I did, it's like, it's almost like watching Jimmy Savile brought back to life. Be that, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. That, yeah.
So, I mean, it's certainly the older version. When he first appears on screen, I honestly, for that, as the camera kind of swoops in into the room, I thought, is that Jimmy Savile? Is this footage of Jimmy Savile? And part of my confusion was the fact that this is a drama, but it also has real people talking at the start and at the end, and during the run of the drama, they incorporate real photographs of the real Jimmy Savile with real celebrities. And I had an issue with that taking me out of the programme. My feeling is you're either one thing or another. You can't be a documentary for 5 minutes and be a drama for 50 minutes for me.
Okay.
Reviews to this have actually been quite mixed.
Is it a programme that needed to be made?
I don't know.
He's an incredibly horrible character.
Agreed,
we know all about it. Everything about what he did is disgusting.
Yes.
Yes, we have someone who can look a bit like him and do the voice, but even just watching the trailer and some of his behaviours and how he abused his position, it kind of, I don't think it's the kind of thing I'd be too interested in watching.
I felt the same way, and I don't know if I'll watch episode two of this either. My situation was the same as yours, having watched the first episode. He is a vile individual, and as a character in a TV show, there's nothing else to be said about him. They do not attempt to humanise him or explain his behaviour. They simply show in the first episode that, now this is pre-Top of the Pops, but he was still a very high-profile individual in his part of the country. So you see him doing horrendous things and getting away with it, and that happens a few times. Yeah. And beyond that, there's not much to say about him.
Yeah.
And I wondered, why did they do 4 hours of this?
He's
Do I need to watch a horrendous
character.
Truly,
and the people he exploited.
Yes.
I just don't really need to know if I need to see it dramatised.
Yeah, exactly,
I think, though, it was done for American TV.
Right.
And I think, because when I've seen it and trailers of it, they talk about it being a very British,
I get you.
Kind of like a British scandal.
One of these co-productions.
A British.
It's a co-, okay,
and
right,
I think that might be where the thing came from. And I suppose, when you think of it, there's probably a lot of people in their 30s that don't...
Wouldn't be aware.
...really are only aware of him at the... I think are only aware maybe of the scandal and not really aware of who he actually was and how much. I mean, like, when I was younger, we all wrote to him. Jeez, I wrote to him and to Top of the Pops, two of the areas where young girls, turns out, were not safe.
Well, it's very hard for them to show any Top of the Pops shows now, because they're
terrible.
So toxic.
Terrible, but I don't know.
So you may or may not continue.
Yeah, I'm giving it like a 5 out of 10.
I don't know. I'm just not in the mood today.
It's heavy going, Greg. It's heavy going for all the reasons you suspect. It is heavy going.
You're probably right. We need to start thinking of something that's nice.
Yeah. Maybe we should do next week. We'll just do nice stuff. Michael Leddy, thank you very much indeed.
Great fun. Don't push it.
Peter Rabbit, thank you for coming back in, and we'll see you again really soon. We do appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll be back on the bloody radio station.
I don't think you've got about 10 seconds. I don't think you publicly congratulated me on my award.
Because I was very excited that you won your award, and I thought this is amazing, and your colleague.
Caroline's award.
I was very excited by our award, the station award. I think it's fantastic.
Oh, she's so but easy to get going, isn't she?
I heard you the next day on with Lee going, oh, I don't do it for the awards. I was like, rumour had it, he was crying, ladies and gentlemen. He was so overcome by joy.
Me and Jerry were able to embrace each other in our
exactly.
tears.
Exactly. In exultation, I heard. That's what it was like at that
so
award.
Very, very much to both of you. Lovely to see you, Fionnuala. Lovely to see you, Michael.
Great
Donald's in for me next week. I'll chat to you Monday week. Have a great weekend. And if anyone needs to contact me for any particular reasons, you can still do so across social media. Don't worry about that. All right, chat to you later.